This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
For our first story this hour, we've been talking a lot lately about changes in Malaysian behaviour. I mean, we've got the smoking ban, you've got proposed anti-stalking laws, and now we're looking at an anti-discrimination law. And that kind of had us thinking, when it comes to instating long-term, real changes in behaviour and in mindset, does it start with laws? Should it start there, to get people behaving a certain way, or should it stem from education?
So, of late, we're hearing of cases related to racism and renting. A couple in KL was rejected by a prospective landlord for looking Indian and Malay. So Free Malaysia Today spoke to Mujahid Yusof Rawa, Minister of Islamic Affairs, and P. Wethamurthy, Minister in charge of National Unity, about the case. Both of these ministers agreed that an anti-discrimination law might help prevent racial discrimination, but it cannot be seen as the only solution to the problem.
So for example, Mujahid said that the caveat that we have to consider are religious sensitivities. Maybe some landlords have religious reasons for wanting tenants of a certain background. And when we spoke about this story, I think a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, that was definitely something that was brought up. So he said, if that is the case, it should be clearly stated, saying, explain why you want a certain tenant, but don't put a blanket ban on someone's race or religion.
So he also thinks that sometimes people unintentionally discriminate out of ignorance and believes legislation would only be necessary where that discrimination is deliberate. He thinks it's a good idea to include educational proponents into these laws to prevent repeat cases.
On the other hand, Wether wants landlords to clearly state the rules and expectations they want their tenants to follow, and that Malaysians need a change of mindset. And then you've got MCA President Wee Kah Siong saying that Malaysians just need to see the good in people instead of judging someone by their race, which is a statement that, if you didn't tell me Wee Kah Siong said it, I would believe Mazli Malik said it, because it's so sort of cuddly and, you know, kind of hippy dippy almost. But I guess the big question for me is, is it laws first? Do we want, when it comes to change, do we want it to come from the inside out or the outside in, right? Do you want people to stop discriminating because they really feel in their heart of hearts that it's the wrong thing to do? Or do you want them to stop discriminating first because, hey, look, the law is there, so don't do it?
My answer is a bit boring because I think both of them should work side by side.
I agree, but I feel as if we're occupying a space where you see people waiting for each other. You know, you see policymakers and then NGOs or educationists kind of, both are moving along, but they're also both looking at one another and going, so
who's going to go first?
Is the law coming, or, you know, should I be pushing my programs out? And I'm just wondering, what is the more effective way to effect long-term change? And if you look at something like the smoking ban, it's, you know, when it came, it seemed like such a shock to many people. But the truth is, you've been trying to educate people about the dangers of smoking, about the effects of secondhand smoke for a very long time. And ultimately, they just decided, okay, we've tried that. Now what we need instead is, let's ban it, you know, so that people just stop the behavior, even if you don't necessarily believe in it or even if it's hard.
I wonder if in this case it could be more like, you know, what we talked about yesterday with regards to bullying, where they have these modules taught in schools and they have children empathize with how they feel getting bullied. So maybe in this case, do we just need to do that? Not so much an anti-discrimination law, but perhaps a program where people can sign up for to talk, to have conversations about race, to have conversations about what it's like to feel racially discriminated.
Yes, I think that's important. And then you need the laws to protect people for whom that doesn't work, I suppose. But let us know what you think. I mean, when it comes to getting Malaysians to make long-term behavioral or mindset change, is it going to come from laws or is it going to come from education? The answer can, of course, be both, but we would still like to hear what you have to say. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're going to be speaking after this with Lim Wei Jet, the Secretary General of the National Human Rights Society, or HACAM. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Calvin. We are talking about the potential of anti-discrimination laws entering our country. And with that in mind, we want to know, you know, when it comes to forging change, whether it's, you know, stopping people from smoking or stopping discrimination from happening, who needs to kind of play a larger role here? Is it going to stem from the law or is it going to stem from education? And in the meantime, we have on the, we'd like to hear from you, by the way. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have on the line Lim Wei-jet, Secretary General of the National Human Rights Society, or HAKAM. Wei-jet, thanks for joining us. So Federal Minister Mujahid Yusof Rawa, as we said earlier, has said this anti-discrimination law, if it existed, it wouldn't solve the problem of racial discrimination in Malaysia. So what do you think? Can laws play a role in changing mindsets?
Properly enforced have a very significant role in changing the mindset of the public. So if you look at things historically, slavery was very normal in the southern states in America in the past. But when President Lincoln enacted the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery, the entire practice was gone after a generation or two. And today it is almost blasphemous and heavily immoral to even suggest that slavery is a legitimate activity. So in that sense, law can bring social change. In the context of racial discrimination in particular, I would imagine that a law would have a mechanism for people to report and for the authorities to investigate on any racial discrimination that happens in the job market or in housing. And there will be fines and punishment which will be imposed on the offender. And this is reported in the press. And people over time get to know that there will be consequences if you discriminate people on racial grounds. And people will be more careful in general. And that slowly seeps into the ethos and the behavior of society. And hopefully one day, we as a nation will not practice discriminatory beliefs and our actions anymore.
What exactly are the roles that you think laws can play in changing mindsets, whether we're talking about racial discrimination, recycling, or even smoking? Are they supposed to educate or punish?
Well, both, to be honest. In fact, punishment by itself is a form of education. So if you can imagine in the past, when you were a child, your parent would probably show you the papers to say, hey, this robber or this kidnapper is going to jail because he did bad things. So that punishment, if it's reported in the press, to the media, is a form of education to the public that this is a red line that you should not cross. So what the laws do is that they set a threshold on what is illegal or what is criminal. They tell the people that there'll be punishment if you cross this threshold, and consequently people will try their best not to trespass it, that particular red line. And over time, it normalizes the mindset and people generally change in their values and social behavior. So to give another example, recently there was a taxi driver who was jailed for up to 2 years because he put a pregnant cat into a washing machine, and he was charged under the Animal Welfare Act 2015. Now that was a very recently enacted act, and that whole sequence of events shows to the public that, hey, if you abuse animals, then there will be consequences, i.e. there will be jail terms for offenders. So you better watch out. And society over time, I believe, will get the message that animal abuse is not okay. And that's how laws affect social change.
Is it fair then to say that laws set an example of how society should work and how society should behave?
Yes, they do set an example based on the illustrations that I have mentioned earlier. Well, at the beginning, it may seem a bit superficial in the sense that people may only not do certain things because of punishment, but then it begins to seep into their being and it becomes part and parcel of society. And sometimes laws need to take a lead in changing values. The values of society at times may be fossilized, it may be very conservative, and you need laws which are enacted by visionary parliamentarians to cut through these archaic practices to serve as a moral compass to society. So yes, I believe laws can affect social change in that aspect.
What makes laws relating to smoking and recycling, for example, more readily acceptable as compared to laws for issues like racial discrimination?
For laws against racial discrimination, certain parties and politicians have used that issue as political capital rather than trying to address the real problem of discrimination. And racial discrimination happens to Bumiputras, to all levels of society, in the job market, in housing, but it becomes controversial as opposed to smoking, because people have whipped up the sentiment that anti-discrimination laws would threaten or harm the special position of the Malays and the Orang Aslis, but that is not the case. So I believe that there was a manipulation by certain parties on the issue of racial discrimination that has caused people to be to distance themselves away from even thinking of enacting anti-racial discrimination laws. I believe that the government is probably reaching the lower-hanging fruits, I suppose, by focusing on smoking laws or other less controversial issues. But I think that at the end of the day, this is an issue, very serious issue that needs to be addressed.
When we're trying to educate, right, in order to change behaviours, what should we be focusing on to make that education as effective as possible?
Well, on the education front, I think firstly, you need to go beyond the textbooks and put those values into practice. So you can't only make it a theory or only confine those lessons within the classroom. You need to allow students and the society to practice what is being preached. And secondly, leaders need to lead by example. You cannot say that corruption is bad to society and you should not practice it. But, you know, our top leaders are practicing corruption without any supervision, without any accountability. It just sets a bad example. And thirdly, you need to reward people if they practice the positive values that is being taught. And fourthly, you need to punish those who breach and who do not follow those values. I think that an amalgamation of all of these elements is required for a really effective education on what is socially acceptable or not.
You mentioned going beyond textbooks in schools. What else can we do to educate students about these issues there?
Well, I think students need role models. So I would really like to see corporate leaders or ministers or even leaders of civil society or probably people within your community who are known to practice honesty, practice good values, who believe in serving the people. All of these icons of society should go to the ground. The schools should provide them an avenue to talk to the pupils, to lecture to the pupils, to show that there is a leading example that you can emulate instead of this being a mere concept. You need to put flesh into the theory that is being taught.
So this is the central question that we've been thinking about, right? When it comes to introducing laws or using education to change mindsets, is one better than the other, or do they work in tandem?
They certainly work together. You can't have one without the other for real, meaningful social change. You need laws to put in black and white what is wrong and what is right. But you also need education for people to really understand why do we have certain laws in place. For example, anti-corruption laws, you cannot just tell a child that you cannot bribe another person for personal gain. You need to tell the child why is that a bad practice in the long run. It harms the country, it harms yourself, and it harms the society at large. So that is that symbiosis between the law and education is certainly required for any meaningful social change to take place in Malaysia.
Wei-Jet, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Lim Wei-Jet, Secretary General of HAKAM, weighing in on proposed anti-discrimination laws that might be introduced, as well as, well, this kind of wondering that we've been having about whether or not that is the answer versus kind of having more education when it comes to creating change. Which is it that's going to work? Because two separate ministers, yep, Mujahid Yusof Rawa as well as P. Weathermurthy, basically said, well, look, a law is all well and good, but it's not really going to solve the central problem.
Yeah, but to be accurate, I think they aren't exactly proposing an anti-discrimination law. They just think they were just asked that question whether they think it could solve all these problems we have with racism and racial discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't necessarily a "it will not happen now." It was more it can't be the only thing. So we've been asking you what you think when it comes to education, you know, or the law, when it comes to mindset change, when it comes to really getting in there and stopping these things from happening. Which one works? You can let us know. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. CT says, the anti-discrimination law, I thought there was something recently, you know, that was supposed to be kind of similar to that. What's it called? iCard? eCert? Well, yes, CT. Yes, indeed. and I suppose that would have fed into it. But it is worth also saying that the I'm just going to call it the iCard for now. That convention would not necessarily have compelled us to do anything. And so a law is going to be perhaps a more direct route of going about things.
And looking at the point of view, so trying to get whether we should enforce or educate first, the reason why we couldn't, I wouldn't say enforce, but I think the reason why we couldn't even sign on to the convention without controversy was because we kind of failed to educate on people on what it was actually.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And on that note, Andrew says, first educate, then enforce. And I think that is how it would work in an ideal world. Sadly, it's just not one that we seem to occupy. John says, it's also important to have laws to protest landlords, to protect landlords. Now landlords are at the mercy of errant tenants. There are many cases of bad tenants trashing the property, absconding while owing rent and utility. If laws and enforcement is fair to both, then it's less cause for discrimination.
Not always. I think in specific cases, even if, because right now you're working on like many, not new, but many landlords and many agents are working on the assumption that certain races tend to dirty places more, tend to thrash places more. So yes, we should have more laws to protect landlords, but in this situation, it's a different context where do we want to educate first or do we want to enforce first when it comes to dealing with racial discrimination, not just in areas of property rental, but in other areas, including employment, including you know, scholarships or so on.
CH Chua says, for the racial issue, you can probably start by having total freedom of religion and kind of having only one rule of law in our country. And I think that is one way of going about it. But again, without education, none of that will mean much if you're not going to fully explain why it is that you're doing things. Keep telling us, though, what you think. Do you think that it's going to be the law? Is it going to be education that's going to lead the way in changing mindsets? Let us know. That number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.